It is Summer Sports Central. Very happy to have this man on the program to have a chat with us. Former Australian cricket coach, of course, John Buchanan, these days very much busy in the business. Well, g'day, John.
Good afternoon there, Kevin. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Hope you had a good Christmas with the family.
Did indeed. So, yeah, it's always a special time of the year, isn't it? Santa arriving and plenty of presents and the odd glass of ginger ale.
Yep.
All goes very well.
Absolutely. It must be funny for you these days because without the involvement, you know, in the elite level of cricket, that you actually do get to enjoy Christmas without having sort of commitments and stuff hanging over your head with that sort of thing.
Yes, well, I mean, it is. It's been a fair while now, so I'm quite used to getting back into the family traditions. But certainly when I was involved with the Australian team, obviously the Boxing Day Test match would gather in Melbourne and families would certainly come down at that time of the year. Fortunately, my wife was always so well organised. Not only would she have to bring five children down, but she would also have to bring all the presents down for the five children, plus all the Kris Kringles for everybody else around the cricket team. So
you'd have just had a Buchanan jumbo jet coming down, wouldn't
right.
you?
That's right. We just about rented a plane, but I'm sure she's definitely glad of that. And mind you, things haven't changed too much. She's always at home preparing the food and preparing everything for everyone to arrive at Christmas Day as well. But it is certainly a difference to those days, but both good in their own special ways.
John, post-cricket, you moved into the business world as a business coach and to talk about, you know, issues like leadership and that. But there's so many similarities and I guess so many philosophies and things that you take out of sport as a player and as a coach and all those things into the business world.
Sure. Yeah, look, I really do believe that, you know, the lessons, I think the lessons go both ways. So the beauty about sport, though, from a business perspective, is that it condenses everything into a short period of time. So even though we're watching a five-day test match and people are not used to test cricket thinking 5 days is a heck of a long time, but, you know, 5 days, you start preparing for a game, you play a game, and then there's a result, whether, you know, in this case it potentially is looking like a draw, but there's still an opportunity for a win or a loss for both sides. But in other words, there's a bit of input, throughput and output. And, of course, the business world, you know, does that virtually every day, every week, every year. And so, but sport is actually very clear on the fact that in its longest form, cricket, after 5 days, there is a result. And you get to measure that, you get to see it in all its glory, or if you're on the wrong side of it, all its lack of glory. But you then have, you know, you've got something to do with it after that. You can review that, you can build upon that, and you can take that forward into your next contest.
Don't have rain delays in business, though, thank goodness.
No, there are traffic delays, though, I guess. It's a bit of a hazard.
Yeah, no, that's very true. The new year brings with it the chance, I guess, to from a business point of view and even in sport, but you're these days more involved in the business part of it, to reset your goals and to set new goals. And I mean, people call them resolutions, but you can call them both, really, can't you?
Oh, definitely. You know, again, just reflecting on cricket for a moment, I guess we're in the Boxing Day Test match and, of course, you're in a series, and you know they're in a three-test series now. So you move from Boxing Day through New Year into the New Year's Test match. And in a sense, when we're around the Australian cricket team, it was a case of, well, having completed either one, two, or three or four tests by the end of the Boxing Day Test match, it was then really a case of, well, how do we build on that for the next test, which just happened to be New Year. And in between time was a special event called New Year's Night and New Year's Day, which is obviously an important part of everybody's calendar. But in a sense, from a cricket perspective, it was almost business as usual. But how do we build from what was previous to what is now, which will be the current test match? And I think business and personal life is very much the same. That you know, there are significant events as we go along throughout a calendar, but you know, year by year, and we tend to stop and celebrate those, and it gives us an opportunity to reflect a little bit and also to maybe reset if we need to, or as I said, continue to build on the successes that we've already had.
Your image as a sport coach and as a sports player and as the man who was at the head of the Australian cricket team, you don't strike me as the sort of bloke who would make a lot of New Year's resolutions.
Everybody, I think, has various goals in their life, and at a moment in time, be it a new year or be it a birthday, be it a Christmas time, be it a special occasion, I guess, where it gives you an opportunity to, you know, stand up on the balcony a little bit and have a look down onto the game field. It always gives you that opportunity to reflect, as I say, and think about what is important to you. Maybe where are you going, either in your life, in your business, or in your personal life. And as I said, either reset those, reaffirm those, make sure that you've tried to live your life according to your principles, and then strive to do that as well as you can, whatever the next length of period might be, as you might set, as you're saying, you might set yourself a goal for the next day, the next week, or the next year, whatever that might be. So I think, you know, these are a very, very good times to do that, and particularly where it is based around holiday periods, and it just does give you that little period of time to take a little breather and have a look back at some of the things that are special for you.
John, when you're in charge of a group of blokes like the Australian cricket team, who are obviously all very, very different, but all very aspirational people who have, you know, high ideals and high values and all those sorts of things, and they're at the elite level of their profession, do you individualise when you sort of think back and say, OK, well, I know this bloke's going to set short-term goals, this one's going to set long-term goals, this one's not going to set any goals. Do you sort of look at it like that and try and help shape them in that way when you talk about leadership in that sort of at that level?
Oh, yes, look, I think that's very true, no matter what walk of life you're in. I think that's one of the most important things that any leader can do, is to try and understand each person as an individual. Because we all are, no matter how similar or close our backgrounds might be, everybody will be very different in the way that they go about what they do. And so I think the art of leadership is really that relationship that you establish between yourself and the athlete in the sporting case, the staff member in a business case, or, you know, a politician, or one of your community in maybe volunteer work. So the closer that you can get to an individual, and of course the closer that they allow you into their lives, the more that you can understand how they tick, and then therefore the more that you can understand how they operate, then that gives you a far better opportunity to, be part of their life, not just their sporting life and not just their career life, but be very much part of their life. And if, I guess I always believed, if we could to look after the whole person as well as we possibly could, then where their current interest lies, where their current skill sets lie, where their current interests are, e.g. if they're an elite sport person in that elite sporting world, then we're in a better position to actually help them do what they want to do, and that's be the best that they can be on field.
Do you have to delve into the other side of them, or can you keep it a strictly business stroke? In you know, the case of obviously the cricket team, it's the sport part of it. But when you're talking about business, I might be involved with you, and we might be working on a project together. But I don't want you to know what I do at home or about my family or all that. Are you able to still? How do you work around those sort of parameters?
Well, look, again, every individual will be different. You've got to understand that will be the case, and some people will let you closer into their lives than others will, and so I guess I always try to find other ways to know about them, and that may mean that I would either talk to some of their peers, I might be able to talk to their family, friends, any piece of information that I could garner that would help me understand them. And of course, sometimes you may not necessarily be the right person to enter their lives, of course, but there are others in your setup. So again, if I reflect back on the sporting instances, some of my assistant coaches or the physio or the trainer or one of the players was the far better person to have the sort of conversations that I thought or would think might have been useful for them, rather than me, because if it was me, as you say, the shutters might go up, and they're not going to listen, they're not going to hear, and it would be wasted time for both of us.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, it's a minefield. Hey, John, can I get you to hang on? We just got to go to a quick break. Then I want to come back and talk to you about the Australian cricket team and what you are. What are your New Year's resolutions, John? I'm going to get them out of you next. John Buchanan is my guest at the moment. Got John on the phone from Sydney, of course, former Australian cricket coach, and these days BuchananCoaching.com. John, have you made the New Year's resolutions yourself for this year yet?
Well, yes. As you said, maybe I. Someone that doesn't change around too much. But look, the first one's always just to continue to love and support my family. I think that's always so important to me, and I guess to everybody, but for me it's very, very important. Remaining healthy is one, and staying true to my principles, which I mentioned before. But from a business point of view, it's really building on what you know, I've established last year and previous to that. And I guess in a broader sense, a community sense, in my own way, just trying to remind everybody what a lucky country we have, and how we need to appreciate that, you know, not just think about ourselves, but think about everybody around us, and you know, not just be a taking, but being a giving community. So they're the broad goals for this year.
Hey, John, in the sporting world and now in the business world, what do you advise people to do when they do get lost in the business world and lost in the sporting world and forget about the important things like their family and people around them and stuff like that? How do you pull someone out of that?
Look, not always that easy, and I couldn't say that I was always successful at doing that, except to say that I think what is always important is people have got to understand themselves. You know, so if we went back to the sporting world again, what I ask individuals to be is their own best coach. So in other words, they don't need the coach. It's what we do with our children all the time. We try to make ourselves redundant as parents, so we want to try to give them all the possible skills and education we can. But then obviously we want to place them in situations where they've actually got to apply that. They've got to learn how it works. And of course, they're going to make errors when they do that. And as parents, we're there to support them. As a business leader, you're there to support staff, people who you're encouraging to make, you know, decisions on behalf of the organisation. And as a sports coach, you're doing the same thing. You're really trying to encourage players to get outside their comfort zone, to be a bit risky, to be a bit bold, and I think applaud that, but understand that there will be some errors along the way. But in doing so, have the individual learn about themselves, what really makes them tick, and you know, part of, I guess, my business world these days is to have people think about when you have a sporting term again, a PB, you know, when you have a personal best, that's fantastic. You know, you get a great result. But the real key to that is you'd like to be able to replicate that day in and day out if you can. And the only way you can do that is try to understand, well, how did I get that in the first place? What do I do? What's in my control to give myself first chance of doing that?
Now, John, while I've got you, I do want to talk to you about cricket. When you were the coach of the Australian national team, how many people did you have around you? How big was the support staff system?
Yeah, look, I started in 1999 with the Australian side, and there was myself, the physio, trainer, a manager, and a scorer, basically. That was us. And that gradually increased to the point where we had a couple of assistant coaches, we added a masseur to that, we had a security person to that, we added a media relations person to that. So it was gradually expanding. Obviously, there's a lot of people around.
Well, that brings me to my question, obviously. Yeah. You've gone from about a 5 or 6-man operation to God knows how many. Have we let it go out of control? There are some people around in the media who think it's just now ridiculous.
Well, look, it was interesting you say that. I remember I was at the World Cup final early this year, wasn't it? When the Australians were walking around the ground and everybody was applauding, it was almost a case of actually trying to find where the players were because I couldn't see like everybody else. Look, I think to some degree it has. There's no question of that. I mean, I guess I'm still always a huge supporter of the fact that, you know, one-on-one coaching, whether that be in business or sport or wherever it can be promoted, is some of the best coaching that you can provide. You know, you establish a good relationship and that one-on-one time is really a really good time to provide. You've got a good relationship with your staff member or your athlete. But of course, you know, if you say, well, you've got to have that, then you can't have 15 coaches around, you know, 15 people. And then beyond that, you've got all the medical staff and sports science staff and media staff, security staff. It gets, and then on top of that, you add selectors, you add some other high performance people. So I think, from my point of view, I think it's time that the coach, in this case it's Bill Fleeman, and the captain, Stephen Smith, should be about reclaiming some of the key ground about how structures should look like, how information is communicated, who says what to whom and when. Because the more people you got, I just mentioned parents and children before, you would, I'm presuming, Kevin, you've got children? Or
yes, yes, absolutely.
Good for you. So you know that if either your son or your daughter couldn't get the right answer from you, they'd go quickly around the back to see Mum and ask Mum, and then if neither was happening, then they'd play both of you off against each other.
Yeah, Dad said it was okay if I go and light fire to the... Yes, exactly.
That's right. That's right. So therefore, the more voices that you've got in and around a group of players, the more difficult it becomes to actually manage those conversations, irrespective of whether you say everybody's on the same page, because everybody will say things slightly differently, and of course the individual listening will hear it completely differently. So I think there is too much noise, in inverted commas, in and around that Australian group now, and it's, I believe, really the two leaders of that group, which is Lehman and Smith, who need to reclaim that ground and establish exactly how they wanted to operate.
Yeah, there almost isn't anything as such as an inner sanctum anymore. It's almost like such a big sanctum, it's not inner.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
Well, lucky there's some really good dressing rooms there at the MCG to fit everybody in.
Hey, what's your involvement? I mentioned earlier that you're actually on your way to the BBL game in Sydney tonight to watch the Thunder take on the Brisbane Heat. I'm sure you're barracking for the Brisbane boys. What's your involvement in cricket these days, John, if any?
Yeah, no, look, just a spectator, really.
Okay.
The reason why I'm down here is that my son was just recontracted or reselected back into the Heat, so there was every opportunity he might play tonight. So I thought I'd drop down and see whether or not he gets on the field, and if he does, it would be nice to be there.
Do you like the Big Bash?
Look, I do. I do. I think it has a role. I think you know, it's backyard cricket rebadged into a senior form, which is terrific. I think it's about bringing people into the game in a certain way. I think where cricket's heading now is completely different to where it was when you and I were sort of growing up, because it was about virtually only Test cricket, and then you got this sort of short form of the game called 50-over cricket that eventually morphed. And so it was about understanding the game from the long form and then converting it to the short form. Well, now, you know, young people growing up, children growing up, really are excited by action and colour and entertainment and so on. And of course, T20 fits the bill nicely. And therefore, that's how I think most young children, most young parents who will become coaches of their young children in some way, shape or form, or doing the scoring or whatever, are going to be brought into the game. And therefore, the game now needs to recognise that we need to learn the game from this excitement and unorthodox play. And, of course, I'm a strong believer that Test cricket should remain, and it should remain in its most traditional form. And, therefore, one-day cricket becomes the transition from short form to long form. And I think we can do a heck of a lot more experimentation around the short form of the game, the T20, and leave that to the grounds for experimentation rather than Test cricket.
Do you cringe, though, when you see, you know, a batsman in a Test match cross-bat sweeper shot down to fine leg and or get caught playing one of those ramp shots or one of those in a Test match? Do you think that Test cricket, John?
No, not at all, not at all. I mean, I think I think the beauty of the game is and what's evolving in the game is that there are increasing number of skills that are... we're now beginning to see. The issue, as I just said, was that the players, coaches and those who are involved in the game got to understand now how they transform all these new dimensions that they're bringing to the game into the long game. And that's where I think the errors are being made, that we're still in that transition phase. We're all still trying to understand this T20 format and what it brings to the game, and then how it translates itself and where it positions itself within the broader context of cricket.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. It's certainly developing. We've got to get with the program, I think, some of us. Good on you, John. Great to catch up. Thanks for your time. And BuchananCoaching.com is where people can find out what you're doing these days. But thank you for talking to us today, and good luck in 2017.
My pleasure, Kevin. Same to you and all your listeners.
John Buchanan there, the former Australian cricket coach, joining us, BuchananCoaching.com.